Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I guess to further clarify, this is our other... Formally, what we've said before, Other Shit Mondays.
Right.
But we've had a variation of things as what to call it.
Yeah, we've had some suggestions. Yeah,
we've had Side Pog.
Yeah.
Which I think that fits too.
Uh-huh.
But that makes it seem like it's too much on the side. When I think this is as important as
Wednesday's show.
As Wednesday's show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we put a lot of time in this.
Mm-hmm. And was it Tad Ping,
okay.
Which is Wiley Ammons, Tyler and Dave play...
Interesting new games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we could just take away the new and have Tadpig.
Tadpig.
So just Tadpig.
I kind of like Tadpig.
Tadpig.
Pig sides.
we're just mashing it all up. It's fine. And I'm going to, while I tell my stories and talk about the games, I'm going to try to enunciate better.
Okay. Why?
I noticed when I edited and really listened to the last episode, I tend to talk very fast and just... sound like I'm mushing up just mashed potatoes just coming out of my mouth because it's just running again and it's hard to understand me.
I think that's part of your charm,
it's part
though.
Of my charm.
I really do. I think people are gonna be like, who is this new person they have on Sidepig?
Why'd they get rid of Mushmouth? Come on.
I like it. What's funny is you didn't even introduce. Now I'm doing it. You haven't even introduced yourself as the bearded host. So as far as anyone knows,
I don't know who's talking.
Tyler's gone.
I am your bearded host, Tyler, and my wife has asked us several times, or I'll get home and she'll ask me what my interesting fact was.
Yeah,
and I'll tell her. She's like, "Oh, why don't you talk about her?"
She'll slap you.
Yeah. Well. Why didn't you talk about our pets? So I figure we can do a pet themed.
Oh, this sounds really exciting.
Interesting.
Everyone's gonna love this.
I've got an awful pet story. Currently I own two cats.
Uh-huh.
And then extended borrowing of another cat.
Okay, so you have three cats.
I have three cats. One is not officially mine.
Mm-hmm. You have to, after several months of fostering, you can file for adoption.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
I don't know much about cat
adoption.
Law.
Yeah.
I have a very fat, stubby-tailed orange cat named River.
Yeah, you do.
River T cat.
Yeah.
The
okay.
T stands for the River the cat. Mm-hmm. I have Meg and I referred to her as our cow-colored cat because she is black and white. Sky. Sky Stage of Summer Blossom.
She has some brown, too.
She has a little brown.
Which totally lends itself to Cow Cat.
It's true. And then our foster cat, Artemis, who is rare because she's a female orange cat.
Which happens. What are the odds?
25%?
I think it's 25%.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's pretty rare you see a female orange cat.
That's how smart we are
about
cats.
We're teaching you guys.
Yeah. Side pig. Just expanding your horizons.
Here's my awful cat story. When we had just gotten them and they'd gotten old enough to be spayed and neutered, they're siblings, by the way, River and Sky, mm-hmm. named after the D&D characters of friend of the show of Wolf Fighting Fang, Jacob York.
Mm-hmm.
And tweet us because you have a lot of followers, please, Leva Bates.
Which she's awesome because she mm-hmm. does that from time to time.
Yep.
Thanks, Leva.
I've taken it out just like, hey, episode came out, please tweet us.
Ah, that would explain. Okay, that would explain it.
Yep. But the night we were going to take River and Sky the next day to get neutered and spayed.
Mm-hmm. Respectively.
spayed under both
just
of
fucking,
them.
Just get in there. Flip-flop that shit.
Get in there and just take it all out. Puzzle them in and take it out.
We don't care what. Just make sure that babies can't come out of that one.
But I get the feeling River must have known that, like, he's losing his balls the next day. So if he wants to have sex, this is his last chance.
I know this story.
I'm sitting in my living room playing Final Fantasy XI when from the kitchen, I just hear this otherworldly scream. Like, I liken it, if you're a listener that has played Final Fantasy VI, this is the scream that Terra makes whenever she takes off that Zozo.
Turns into an Esper. Spoilers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's that awful just, like, what is that? And I turn the corner to look into the kitchen.
You run around the corner, Terra, what the fuck?
And River has his claws buried in the sky and he's hunched up behind her. And I imagine it's akin to walking into like your children having sex because I just freaked the fuck out. And I reach over there and Meg heard me from the other room. I woke her up with my screaming because I grabbed River.
Screaming in horror or in anger?
Both. Just because I grabbed him and picked
like
him up.
This is like a Lovecraft story.
I scruffed him, picked him up to eye level, like I expected him to understand me. Right. It's like, that is your sister. And then I like threw him in the closet. I was like, okay.
What do we look like, Lannisters?
Yeah, nice. So then Kit, I was like, they're separated. I just like put him away. I was like, Pitt's got Kat, I'm so sorry. And then doing research into it, like, man, they're not as bad as duck penises.
Yeah.
But cat penises are pretty terrible.
Yeah, they're like barbed, right?
Yeah. They're barbed and like curved, a hook in there so people can't run away.
I'm not going to tell you why I know that. Just, you know, so I like cats.
Next day I had him fixed. River, he was a perfectly fine gentleman after that. That's my horrible, horrible cat story.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I don't have a horrible, horrible cat story. I think, well, actually, I do. I've told them all. The one with the nutsack pouncing is probably the most horrible cat story I've got. I got nothing, man.
You got dog stories?
Because
you have more than just cats. You have a dog.
Yeah, all right. I got a dog story. Yeah. You want to hear a dog story?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm ready to just get right into it. Let's get right into the games. But I do have a dog story. It's pretty gross.
You could also go ahead and name all of our cats, because I remember there being challenges issued by Josh Edwards.
Trivia challenge.
So trivia about who has what pets. I feel like this is good trivia. Trivia material for a future trivia challenge.
Okay. Well, I've got Ein Dog. Mm-hmm. He's the corgi. We talked about him on the show. Mm-hmm. He's the one I got horribly sick in Nikki's bathroom when we were in college. I've got Cosmo Cat. He's a cat, mm-hmm. believe it or not. He's a black cat.
It's like we're Japanese. You have to add what they are at the end.
That's his honorific. Suffix.
Yeah.
I've got Kara Cat, also a cat. Also happens to be Cosmo's cat mom. Mm. Nikki's Cosmo's human mom, but Kara's his cat mom. Mm. So that's also weird. When we first got them, he was really young. So he had just been weaned. So he would try to milk.
Nurse.
Yeah, thank you.
He would try to derive.
He just tried to milk her.
Derive dairy essence. What do you call that?
Weird.
Milk.
He was very entrepreneurial, this Cosmo cat. No, he tried to nurse, and which was, Kara was fine with that for the longest time, but then like we still had him like 9 months later. He's still trying to do it. And at this point, she's just beating his ass. Anytime he tries to do it, she just kicks him in the face. We've also got Berlioz Cat. Who's another black cat that Nikki found. Man, people are just on the edge of their seats, man.
Yeah.
Where did she find him? She found him under a dumpster. We brought him in. And then we've got Arya Cat, who's named after Arya Stark, because she is nothing but trouble. Let's put it that way.
She's a scrapper.
Yeah. You want me to tell my dog story,
too? Yeah, tell the dog story.
Shit, man. All right. This isn't an Ein story. When I was in high school, I had our family dog was a Beagle Springer Spaniel mix named Baja. And she was an outside dog during the day, but we'd bring her in at night. She'd sleep inside at night. I remember coming home from school one day and seeing her in the yard. And she had this thing. She was an awesome dog. She loved tennis balls. And she loved to play fetch, and she'd love for you to throw the ball up in the air, like straight up in the air, and she'd jump and catch it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of her favorite things. And so I'm coming home from school, and I drive up in the driveway, and I see her in the yard. And when no one would play ball with her, what she would do is she'd take the ball, and she would put it in her mouth, and she would throw it in the air, and then she would catch it. And
it's impressive.
It was impressive. Impressive dog feat. Like, if there was dog television, like, I promise you, she'd be on there. So I'm driving up the driveway and I'm like, oh, she's doing her thing, playing. And I look at her and I was like, I gotta get her a new tennis ball because that one's coming apart. Like I could see like the felt and shit like coming off the ball. So once I park the car, I go up to greet her and, you know, retrieve the tennis ball from her. It's a rabbit head.
How's that lunch, John Zelfin?
Hope you enjoy your lunch, buddy. So she was just happy. Apparently she killed a rabbit and decided to gloat with
play
its
a little
corpse.
Mayan basketball. It's fine.
She's a barbarian, this dog. That was her trophy. What do we do here on Side Pig? Tad Ping. Other Ship Monday.
So on Other Ship Monday, Side Pog, people, you can comment on Facebook, email us, let us know what you prefer.
Facebook.com/TadPog.
Yep.
Go.
And what we do is, because Wednesday is exclusively IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo games.
That's right.
Original play for Wednesday.
Whether we like it or not.
Yep. Any other games that we've been playing or games that we want to talk about, games that people request that we play.
Uh-huh.
I talked to Matt Barger about eventually like doing we've had people send us games.
Yeah.
So do a series or like, here's the Matt Barger series. Here's games that he sent us and yeah. You know, do those. Like, it'll just be tons of other stuff.
I was thinking about that too. I really want to do that because all that does is promote more people to send us games.
That's a good point.
And I'm not going to lie. That would be awesome because we make zero money on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
we lose money on it actually. Yeah.
It's true. It's very true.
We're paying for you to like us.
I mean, I know it sounds like I'm begging here. It's probably, I am. I'm begging a little bit. Send us a Steam game.
Or a 5-star review. I'll be fine with that.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. On iTunes. Not at your local restaurant or something. Don't give us a 5-star on Urban Spoon.
Don't find us on Yelp and be like... or that'd be fine too. Your local Holiday Inn. Go on Yelp and talk about that punk.
So what are we talking about today on this episode?
Well, we'll do what we've been playing.
Uh-huh.
And then I think our primary focus is going to be on the Phoenix Wright.
Objection!
Nice. Yeah. Nice. You set me up.
Yeah.
I could see it like in your eye. It's like the interrupting cow joke. Like you were just waiting for it.
You just going to say it?
Objection! Hold it! About the... sort of the latest episode, Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies, and then the Phoenix Wright series as a whole.
Which I'm an initiate. You are the Phoenix Wright master, and I am but an apprentice seeking to be trained in the trade of Phoenix writing.
There you go. And then I think we're gonna mix things up. It makes more sense for us to take calls on Mondays as opposed to Wednesdays, because Wednesdays will be more of the retro feel, just the Super Nintendo.
Right.
Mondays, we'll start doing calls. Please still call. Monday is just as important as Wednesday.
It's like, it's not like, you know, when a show changes a day.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, like, that's usually like, I think when something on NBC in the 90s would go from Thursday to Wednesday or something, it was just like, oh, God. Or Saturday, the dreaded, like, Saturday slot. Yeah. It was like, oh, this show is done. That's not the case.
Poor Community.
That's not the case with calls.
Yeah.
Oh, is Community on Tuesday or Saturdays now?
No, I recall it being, like, Friday or Saturday for a little while.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. So, yeah, the calls are still important. We're not bumping them because we don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
We're just bumping them because calls are other shit.
Yeah, we're moving into a more appropriate place.
Maybe, how about this? What if the call is retro video game related? Maybe we still play it on Wednesday?
I think that sounds good.
And if it's other shit, we play it on Side Pig.
So Micah Mondays.
Micah Mondays.
The Would You Rather from Lord Micah Purdue.
Yes. What have you been playing this week?
Well, as far as my alphabetical Steam challenge.
Mm-hmm. Another lawful trait of yours. I was thinking about that today.
Well, I had to do something, some kind of organization for me to actually get through Steam
through
games.
Through all 150
otherwise,
of them?
I'm not going to 200.
Okay.
So otherwise, I'm not going to play a lot of these unless I get some sort of formula to make myself go through it.
Did you get the latest Humble Bundle? The worms? All those worms games? I was thinking about you when I saw that because I was like, if he does that, what's going to happen is he's going to get to a section where it's just like 3 months of worms games.
I already had the only one of those I didn't have was like Worms Golf. I actually have most of those already.
Really?
So I haven't gotten it.
Anyway, I keep interrupting you. I know you probably want to get to what you've been playing.
So the 5-episode Telltale Adventure Back to the Future games.
Yeah.
I finished all five episodes.
You finished all of them. Yes, holy shit. That's pretty good for what you did it like in a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much one a day.
I did most of them today, actually.
Oh, God. How was that experience?
Well, we had like a near tornado last night that knocked a tree across my driveway and I couldn't get my cars out.
That was just not your opening story.
Because I'm talking about
we
cats.
We had a tornado.
Because cats.
It got in the way of cat talk.
So it blocked in mine and Meg's cars. So I called work. I was like, tree in my driveway. I'll see you guys tomorrow after I get a chainsaw and hack this up and
have
throw
you done
it
that?
Off. Yes.
Okay.
So
damn.
I'm here. So yes.
Good point. Well, I don't know, maybe you just lifted it up and set it to the side. So in the morning you'd pull it back and be like, still there. So,
can't go in.
You can come out and look if you want.
I did send my boss a picture, so
yeah.
I totally
would have done that too. Because it does sound like a bullshit story.
It's a Josh Nance calling it a Pizza Hut story. Which has a whole nother thing of stories we can tell.
Josh Nance
calling into work. Yeah.
That's an intro.
But Back to the Future, the more I played with it, the story is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Because from doing a little bit of research into it, whether it's canon or not, no one will say. No one will say it is. No one will say it isn't. They say
What's that?
They'll say basically
the game. Okay.
Yeah. They'll say it's based off Back to the Future 4.
Okay. Was there a script for Back to the Future 4?
I assume there was at least some sort of an outline or idea.
Huh.
But yeah.
Tell me more.
Just didn't get made. So, but they won't say. I guess they can't say, yes, this is what Back to the Future 4 would have been. They're just like, it's inspired by it. They avoid the question.
So they at least say that. Yeah. Cool.
But they avoid the, is it canon question, which I would consider it canon. I think it's very, very good. It would have made a very good movie. There's one episode 3, I believe, called Citizen Brown.
Yeah.
That was my favorite one. Because you start...
Is it like Citizen Kane with Doc Brown?
Well... It was more like, what's the movie with Soylent Green in it?
Oh, God, you're going to make me look like an idiot, because I like movies, but I don't know the answer to this. Yeah. I know the reference, but I don't know what movie it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sure Meg is probably in there just like, oh, it's...
Yeah, and probably everyone listening to this right now. We may have lost listeners. We've lost subscribers because of this question.
But it reminds me of that, because the first episode, go back to Prohibition era... Second episode is more Prohibition era stuff. That's ending all the stuff in the Prohibition era. Third episode, Doc Brown fades away. Like Marty, mid-flight, you fuck something up. In episodes 1 and 2, Doc fades away. You crash into a big sign that is a very different looking Doc Brown welcoming you to Hill Valley. And it's like a walled off, fenced in compound. And you get inside and it's... lawful evil totalitarian society that he and his, I think at the end of episode 2, he ends up getting a girlfriend who is not Claire Barton from Back to the Future 3. Uh-huh. So it changes his timeline. So the Doc Brown you know from the movies vanishes and you get lawful evil Doc Brown, who is very much absolutely controlling everybody. Everybody wears uniforms. There are very strict controls and you're having to break rules and acquire demerits so you can meet him.
And Marty joins the U.S. government. He comes in Waco, Texas is the motherfucker.
They do think, the only thing I didn't like that a lot of you don't have distinct choices like Walking Dead that don't carry over, except for one. When the first NPC you meet in the game asks for your name and you
is this in episode 1?
Episode 1.
Okay.
And whatever you decide your name is, you get like 3 choices. They stick through the whole 5 episodes.
Okay.
So I chose Michael Corleone.
Okay.
So they refer to me as that throughout all 5 episodes.
Nice. What are the other names? Are they all movie references?
Yes.
Cool.
I was hoping Clint Eastwood, but
no.
It wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
But that was the most interesting, because basically you have to convince him that you're who you say you are, and he wasn't supposed to turn out like this, and you have to convince him to show him how to build the time machine again, and you get alternate DeLoreans, and it's good and well thought out. The story, mechanically, it's kind of a clunky mess.
Really?
Because, you have to go the long way around to all these different story points. Like, you can't, If something is across the street, you can't walk across the street. You have to walk down the sidewalk to the pre-organized place for you to cross the street and then go back around again. Yeah. And it's already so slow.
Oh.
So a lot of stuff like that. And there's a lot of it's hard to control with the mouse and rotate. And then I finally figured out how to run. So that helped a little bit. But you can't always run.
How do you run? Let us know for those of us who are planning on playing this in the future.
You right click. Gotcha.
Yeah. The old right click.
Left click for direction, then you point and drag, and then right click makes you run.
Gotcha.
Or you just kind of hustle a little bit in small areas. You can't, some places it just doesn't work.
Okay, so great story. Pretty clunky mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Would you...
The ending is strange. Mm-hmm. Like, I see what... It's one of those endings where, like, I see what you were going for there, but it doesn't really work.
Mm.
Because it... It breaks a lot of rules that were established in the first three movies.
Really?
So
that sucks.
Yeah. Supposedly, it sets up for another series of games, but which I would play.
Yeah.
If they come out with episode 6, I would play it. So, I would buy it.
So this batch, would you pass it or play it? Would you recommend it?
If you're a fan of Back to the Future or if you're a fan of point-and-click adventure games, it's a play.
Okay.
Keep that in. Stock Brown's the train, which they don't even mention the train until like episode 4 or 5.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You think they'd talk about that?
Yeah, because they don't mention
train again.
Clara or the train until much later on.
They don't mention until this episode where it appears. there won't be a train in Wednesday's episode.
Mm, well, hopefully not. We'll probably pause and not just keep recording.
Have you been playing anything else?
It took up all my time.
Okay.
Michael J. Fox does make an appearance.
Really?
He is not the voice of Marty McFly.
Like, I like to imagine he makes a literal appearance. Like, he's like, everything else is all like computer generated. And then he just like walks up with like pixelated bad green screen. And he's like, oh, I see you're playing Back to the Future. And then like they transition, he's gone. And then like they play the PowerPoint applause.
Or like the Fight Club where the cop comes in for a second. You just periodically see his face smiling at you throughout the game. But Michael J. Fox is the voice of Marty McFly's great-great-grandfather.
Okay, that's nice. So, that's a nice touch. I like that.
Yeah, in episode 5.
I like that a lot. That train, man, I swear. It's like whenever we record, there's just more trains.
We usually get 2 trains in like the hour it takes us to record.
And this is a loud one, too. Like, this train's in labor. You know, what I always worry about is if we leave in, like, train talk. That's a segment, by the way. That's a new segment now, train talk.
Well, we got the name reads from Wikipedia train. It's just train talk.
Train talk. What I'm worried about is that the mics don't pick it up all the time. So it's like, I'm worried that we're making these strange references to a train that, like, no one hears. It's like...
It's like a dog train. Only dog can hear the train that's going on right
Only
now.
Podcasters can hear the train. And then, like, our show gets really big because someone's like, you got to listen to these crazy motherfuckers talk about a train that's not there. And then the podcast goes viral.
They talk about masturbating and their dicks and just
and they freak.
Imaginary trains.
We wind up on, like, the podcast version of The Soup. That's the podcast Jacob needs to do.
That would be good. What have you been playing?
Well, Tyler, we went back to Game Galaxy in Nashville.
Yep.
So I wanted to mention, kind of a big deal here, I beat Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah, you did.
Beat that motherfucker, which I always wanted to do because I loved that game on the Super Nintendo. We'll get to it on Wednesday shows, where I'll talk about it in length. But I always loved that game on the Super Nintendo and always wanted to beat it in the arcade. But it felt like the arcade was just too fucking difficult for me to handle. I just could not get
hard
through
and
it.
Expensive.
Hard, exactly. I was thinking about that today. Like, it took me, you know, as much as I play Mortal Kombat, it still took me 2 hours to beat it standing there. And it's a breeze up until the bosses. Like, I felt like, wow, man, yeah, this is real. Everything feels good. The Super Nintendo must have been like a fantastic port because everything was just how I remembered it. And then I got to Kentaro, the first boss, and it was just like, buckle up because this is going to take about 45 minutes.
I think I played 3 different games passing behind you to just you fighting Kentaro. Like, I'd stop, chat with you a little bit, watch you get him down about 3/4 health and then die and start over. And then I'd play another game and come back.
Oh, man. It was just like, that guy is just so cheap. He's just so cheap. And there were times where I was like, I'm done. I need to like play some other games. But then it's like that like gambler feeling, because it's like, well, you know, I've already put so much time in it. I might as well just go ahead and finish it. Otherwise, I've wasted my time.
That's true.
Newsflash, I wasted my time with either direction. Either way I go, both paths lead to obscurity. but I finally beat that. So mark that off my list. Maybe next time.
Off your bucket list.
Yes. Yeah. Done. Maybe next time I'll beat Mortal Kombat 1. But I'll be damned if I play Mortal Kombat 3.
Mm-mm.
Not doing it.
Mm-mm.
Not doing it.
I can't imagine. It's it. Ugh.
And then we also beat Metal Slug X.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
I really, really liked that game. That's an SNK game that I had never played a Metal Slug game before. And I was surprised that I loved it, because I've even said on the show before, I don't really like run and gun games. Like, it's just not my, it's not my preferred flavor. But I think because it was on free play and I really didn't care about how many times I died, I actually had, and I was playing with you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really fun time.
You did all the heavy lifting on that one. I came in, you did the first 70% by yourself, and I just jumped in and played the last few levels with you.
It was so much more fun when you joined. It's like, I don't know. It actually made me flip-flop, because before, we're going to get to Contra 3, is it?
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesdays, one of our Wednesday shows, and I was dreading that because I'm not really good at those kinds of games. But Metal Slug kind of got me in the mood where, all right, I can
cartoony and amusing, and
yeah, I loved the art style because yeah, it was all cartoony. It was almost like Contra meets River City Ransom.
That's a good comparison.
And it also got me thinking about a game I saw on Steam that looked similar, that Ramon had recommended to me, called Mercenary Kings. And so when I got home from Game Galaxy, I was like, you know what? I'm not sure if I want to pay full price for Mercenary Kings. I'm just going to go ahead and put it on my wish list. And then it was 2 days later, it went on sale. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, that's a sign. I'm buying it. So I bought it, and I will report on that hopefully soon. Also,
yeah,
talking about Steam.
More.
There's so much more. There's so much fucking more.
Good week.
They're just, this is going to be like, I can just see the dread in your eyes. You're like, I gotta fucking listen to all this when I edit. I can just see it. Speaking of Steam, I wanted to thank Shake for sending me Super House of Dead Ninjas, which I love the message that he sent along with the game, where he said, Dave, this is nothing like that other ninja game you said you like. Enjoy.
He sent me, it looks like Dead Diner.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Had you played it?
He sent me Cook Serve Delicious.
Oh.
And then he sent me a new one, a zombie restaurant game.
Nice.
He's like, I want you to do these together and talk about them on SidePog. I was like, okay.
Well, that's real easy to take care of if you don't want to do it. If you ever don't want to do it, be like, well, you know, Dave feels really left out when he doesn't get to play the game we talk about. So you should probably send it to him too. And then we'll just, Shake will be such financial ruin that you won't have to do it. I'm just kidding, Shake.
I'd say his like 400 plus games, he's doing pretty good. I've never seen any more than Steam library like Ashley Shake.
This is just my way of, see, I begged for games earlier to our extended listener base. Now I'm just singling out one person who listens. Shake, please send me some games. Thanks for this one game, but I'm not satisfied. I've got a hunger, Tyler.
Hungry. It's hunger for him.
We also beat Turtles in Time again.
Yep,
I think that'll be a tradition. We're going to get really good at that game.
Because we beat it with Jacob and Nikki, and now we beat it with Josh and Nicole.
Yeah, because Josh and Nicole came up. Josh of Uniracer's fame, and Nicole of Kirby's Dream Land 3 fame.
Mm-hmm.
We played Borderlands 2.
Yeah,
we did. We talked about that a whole lot before. We had an
old-fashioned LAN party, Borderlands 2.
I played Path of Exile, which I really, really want to talk about in depth on.
I downloaded it.
A side pig. I'm glad you downloaded it, mm-hmm, because it is.
I even wrote down my end, because I was trying to think of my opening story, and I thought of another one. I was like, no, I'm going to save that for Path of Exile. Nice. So I had to make a note of my intro.
I'm so glad you're on board for that, mm-hmm, because it's totally what Diablo 3 should have been. This game is like Diablo 2.5. The best way I can describe it to you, Tyler, and probably none of our listeners, is that Path of Exile is the Pathfinder to Diablo's D&D 3.5.
Oh, okay. I see now I'm behind it. Now you got me. Yep. You hooked me.
So I also have a new toilet game. Plants vs. Zombies 2. Fucking ousted.
Oh, shit.
Dethroned. I'm tired of collecting those keys. You're out of here. It's my new one is Reaper, which was recommended to me by listener Tony. And it is quite fun. It's a side-scrolling action RPG where you go from town to town on an overworld and pick up quests. And I haven't detected an overarching storyline other than just like the campaign setting. It's free for now, but I have a feeling that it's going to get to a point where it's like, you've completed this campaign. Would you like to play the next one for $3? I have a feeling it's going to do that to me.
Okay.
So far, I'm enjoying it, though, and yeah. I'd recommend it.
Are you like are you the Grim Reaper going around doing? Do you have a scythe? Are you?
No, you got a sword, but you're like everyone you encounter, like they're very rude. They claim you don't have a soul. They just tell you that right off the bat. Mm. You don't have a soul, and they say things like you just have a white skull painted on your black face. I don't know. So I assume you could be
kill them.
Yeah, you can. I played a lot of Black Knight 2000 pinball game.
Yeah, you did play a hell of a lot of that.
Nowhere near to the high score. If you beat the high score, you get $25. Nowhere near. Nowhere near. I've even thought about, this is going to sound sick, all right? This is going to sound sick, Tyler, so get prepared. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I've looked in the pinball emulators to train, play Black Knight 2000 so I could go in there and win $25. I'm going to sink. I've already probably sank like 4 hours into playing the actual game. I'm willing to train for hours to win $25.
Well, I feel like you could scam it. Like once you get like just a little bit over the score, stop. Play it again. Get a little bit over again. Stop. And just do that till you get like $200 till they take the sign down and you have to leave. Hey, independent business owner, and we just milk them for all their profits.
Yeah, it's like
shut them down.
It's like a casino scene where I've been counting the cards. They've got me back behind the fucking arcade, tied to a chair, just kicking me in the face.
I feel like I should apologize for the editing of the Rogue Legacy episode.
Why?
Because whenever I was talking, Nicole was currently playing through Alan Wake.
Yeah.
And when she and Josh came over, Nicole and Meg were sitting on the couch and she was playing Alan Wake, and then Rogue Legacy got brought up and Nicole just starts laughing and she's like, it was all pretty good until we got to the end. And then Meg started laughing. Meg was like, yeah, because apparently at the end, like, I started the intro song too late, so it played through like just 2 minutes of intro song. Nicole was like, it was interesting because I never heard the whole song before.
So, by the way, I totally listened to that. I totally knew that. Yeah.
Clearly.
Totally. I knew that happened. I was just being a nice guy. I wasn't bringing it up.
See, and then she listened to all of it thinking there'd be a stinger. I don't know how to do that. So she just listened to 2 minutes and then it was just over.
You know what's funny is I was even thinking, like, I knew the day you were editing and I was like, should I mention, like how to add the stinger and, like, stuff like that? And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it be. I'm sure Tyler knows what he's doing. If he has a question, I'm sure he'll ask.
Because I got there and I was like, I don't remember pulling anything out of it that I thought would be a good stinger. I'm just not going to have one. Just do 2 minutes of moves. It's fine.
I think that should be the thing on Side Pick. You get 2 minutes of moves at the end.
I also found out, because when we were playing Alan Wake, Nicole got mad at Josh because we were playing, and then Josh just looks over at me. Nicole doesn't like her title. And then she just says on the controller, Josh, you don't say that to him.
It's an unspoken rule. No one throws a marquee title in the face of the
When I bitch about Tyler, don't tell him I was bitching about him.
So what does she prefer over marquee?
I don't know.
Marquee's fucking badass.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Final Fantasy Tactics, Nicole. Play it, and then you'll probably like the title.
Yep. I guess she can just be a lady if she wants to be a lady.
Oh, actually, she had an issue with me. I think I'm the one who came up with
said marquee.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So why are they taking it out on you to begin with? Come on, guys.
She's more comfortable getting mad with me.
Don't misplace your anger. It's me. It's me that you have issue with, not Tyler.
So everybody else can be badass marquees, and she can just be lady Nicole.
I I'd strip her of her title, but she tweets about us too much. I can't do it.
That's true.
Can't do it. So we're about 41 minutes in. You want to talk about Phoenix Wright?
Yeah, let's break down some Phoenix
Wright. Sorry, I had a lot to talk about.
You want to hop on the Dave Roots and Wikipedia train?
No.
And I even said it like Wikipedia.
No, I can look it up. I didn't know we did that on Other Shit Mondays. Let's do it. I like it.
Wikipedia. I feel like Phoenix Wright is probably unique enough that it could use some fleshing out for people that aren't super familiar with it.
Like me, to be honest.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
You just heard me gush about it before.
Holy God. This is so long. This is really, like, this could take 10 minutes.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, man. You looked this up earlier, didn't you? And realized there was a lot of Japanese in this. All right, guys. We already did train talk. Let's take that train and Dave reads from Wikipedia. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, released in Japan as Gaiakuten Saiban Yamigero Gaiakuten.
Nice.
Yes. Which translates to Turnabout Trial Revived Turnabout. Does that sound at all like the first game, Tyler?
That sounds like some of the cases.
Okay.
But
okay. It's an adventure video game, Tyler. Published and developed by Capcom in Japan, uh-huh. North America, and Europe, and published by Nintendo in Australia. I don't know what that's all about. If we have any Aussies, let us know.
We do. We have one.
So let us know. It was first released, Tyler, as Gaiakuten Saiban in Japan for the Game Boy Advance in 2001, and was re-released on the Nintendo DS as an enhanced remake in 2005. It had all kinds of things: touch screen support, microphone support, and exclusive content.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go through? Are we good? Do you want me to get to, like, they could talk about characters and stuff? You want
nah,
to
it's that? Okay. There are a lot of characters, so we don't have to do it.
So clearly, that's about, like, the first iteration of mm-hmm. this game. How many have there been? Do you know?
There is, let's see, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is the first one. Phoenix Wright Justice for All. Phoenix Wright Trials and Tribulations. And that's the core Phoenix Wright series.
Okay, that's the trilogy.
Right. And then there's Apollo Justice,
uh-huh.
which comes after that.
That's, I want to play that one next.
That's the first one where you're not Phoenix Wright.
I want to play that one next.
It's good. Think. It's very. It's the darkest of all of them.
I want to play that one real bad.
Mm-hmm.
I will get into that later.
Apollo?
I love Apollo. He is my favorite character.
And then they're my favorite, which are the two Miles Edgeworth games. And then, of course, now Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies, which I think is a very shared experience between all the attorneys.
And this is the first one that I'm playing, is this mm-hmm. Dual Destinies. Mm-hmm. I had never played a Phoenix Wright game before. I actually own the first one and never, ever put it in my mm-hmm. DS because I was too busy playing Chrono Trigger on my DS. But yeah, I had never played it before. I heard you lovingly gush about the game.
Because I feel like so far, like I really, really enjoyed Rogue Legacy. I really enjoyed Double Dragon Neon. I think this is the first game we've talked about that I just absolutely love and adore.
Really?
The series. Like, it is up there. Like, the love and dedication and fanboyism that I give the Phoenix Wright series yeah. is akin to Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, like, wow.
I love these games much. Oh, man, I love these games.
Well, then I will be less than honest when I talk about it. So is it not
it's
upset
not for
you?
Everybody.
Because, like, I feel like you may start throwing things at me now. I've got an empty bottle of bourbon here.
That's no, okay. I understand. It's a very niche kind of game. Like, not. It's clearly not going to be for everybody. And describing them, well, it'll sound like it sucks.
It probably will, describing it. But I can tell you've got a lot of passion behind what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So, you may turn somebody around because you honestly turned me around. I wanted to give Dual Destinies a shot. Is it Dual Destinies
mm-hmm.
or Dual Destiny?
I believe it's Dual Destinies.
Because I've only seen the title screen once. And it's weird because it's a digital download mm-hmm. on the 3DS store. So I don't have a box or anything either. It wasn't one of those things where it was like, I specifically have to remember the title of this game in order to purchase it. Because in the store, it's just Phoenix Wright.
Yeah.
Got it.
Which we talked about Dual Destinies specifically for this episode.
Right.
But we both bought it. I finished the first case, but like I could have plowed through and finished more, but I just don't trust Capcom like at all. So they're releasing a Phoenix Wright game, and I'm just going to just eat crumbs of it at a time just to make it last.
You try to
savor the morsels.
Yeah.
Because like I got my heart broken for Miles Edgeworth because like Miles Edgeworth 1 is my favorite one out of the whole series. And then they came out with Miles Edgeworth 2 and Capcom was just, no, we're not going to translate it. Like there have been tons of petitions sent for them. Like I have the Japanese version.
Yeah.
And
you do love these games.
I do. I have it. And then Lord Mike sent me the translation.
Oh, cool.
But it's very hard trying to match up the screens and then look
at
the script and trying to figure out. So hopefully when Ashley Shake comes in December, since he speaks Japanese.
Yeah.
But hopefully I'll cuddle up with him and we'll share my my DS and we'll play the Japanese version together and he can explain to me what it is.
Awesome. Do record it, please, so we can make that a podcast.
But let's see. Overall, Phoenix Wright is a defense attorney.
Yeah, okay.
And the game is, starting off, at least the first game, is all about, mostly it's all in the courtroom and then you'll have the cutscenes and things like that in his office.
Uh-huh.
And he starts off in the first game, in the first game, you actually start off as a different attorney. You start off as Mia Fey.
Okay.
Mia Fey is
his porn star. It sounds like a porn star name. Let's be honest.
It's true. And she has enormous breasts, but porn Mia star. Fey is his protege that he learns everything from. He works for her.
I bet he does.
He works for her.
I bet he learned a lot. This guy.
You're her at first with the person she learned from. Which he makes a few appearances in the Phoenix Wright games, but he's kind of forgotten
overall.
Does he
have a porn star name?
I can't remember his name.
Okay.
And like the first case, you're trying to, like Phoenix Wright is accused of a crime and you're defending Phoenix Wright. And then after that, he's like, I want to do what you do. And then starts to study under Mia and Mia is killed. So then he has to try to find out. And like, I believe, see all these games kind of run together for me because it's all, they're very similar. Mechanics just vary, but the story is all in cases. It all kind of runs together and I have trouble with it. But he has to defend Mia's sister, Maya, because she is accused of like the murder and he has to defend her. And then Maya joins his practice as like his secretary. And there's like a will they, won't they kind of love thing going on
Classic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Yep. in the first game, it's Miles Edgeworth is the primary protagonist.
Okay.
Because he is the genius prosecutor.
Okay.
That is every bit as good as Phoenix Wright. So you're constantly like, you lose as much as you win against Miles Edgeworth. And it ends up, the story kind of shifts over. It ends up doing a lot about Edgeworth's backstory at the end because the final case is about Edgeworth's father. Like, Miles Edgeworth was supposed to be Phoenix Wright, he was supposed to be the star defense attorney. But when his father is murdered, he flip-flops and becomes a prosecutor in order to find and put his father's murderer in jail.
Then he's the mirror image of Phoenix Wright.
Exactly. But he's the very, like, Phoenix, the games are pretty funny. Like,
yeah.
They take this serious.
This one that I played.
Yeah. They're all just like that.
Yeah, good.
So it's, because it's a very serious, there's not a lot of, it's a courtroom.
Right.
And you're a defense attorney. There's not a lot of crunch to it, but they make it where it's tempered in a lot of humor.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be. I think that's one of the things that makes it really successful because I don't want to, you just finished the first case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil anything, and this really won't, but in the second case of Dual Destinies, you are faced against a samurai prosecutor who is also a convicted felon. And he has a falcon that will, whenever he like reviews evidence or witness testimony or anything like that, the falcon will retrieve it and bring it back and hold it for him. It's just like playing it. I was like, this could be like a fucking Adult Swim short or something.
It is. It's sort of like, it's like a more serious Harvey Birdman.
It really is.
And it does a really good job as cases go on and the game goes on. It builds tension to where you get, toward the end of a game, you are really invested in.
Yeah.
And it gets increasingly like, it retains its silly moments, but it gets more serious. And then the cases eventually at the end usually include characters that you care about.
Oh, no.
That you've learned from the cases. God. Like typically whoever like your partner is that you work with through the first 1, 2, 3 cases and the fourth case, they're accused of something.
Oh, no.
And then you're fighting for them throughout the whole.
I'm not looking forward to that case.
my favorite case in the first one, though, strangely enough, because the DS version has a special exclusive DS case.
Oh, okay.
That once you finish the game, watch the credits, unlocks the fifth case. And the fifth case is wonderful and strange in that it has so many cool elements, but you don't see them again.
In any of the other games?
They eventually bring back Luminol.
I don't know what that
Luminol
is.
Luminol is a spray to where you can spray and you'll see bloodstains.
Okay.
You get to use Luminol to investigate crime scenes in the fifth case. And then there's scanning to where you can do fingerprint dusting. So you'll find where you'll do fingerprints and you'll move your stylus like you're brushing on and then you blow it off by blowing into the mic and get the fingerprints like that. I don't remember having that really again. Luminol comes back, pouring clay into handprints and footprints, I feel like comes back maybe once, but it has a lot of cool elements and you're taking on Phoenix Wright has to risk his career by accusing the chief of police of a crime and then and the chief of police knows his shit. Uh-huh. So it's a very difficult case trying to trap him and convict him. Because I played this on when Meg graduated seminary, we all took a cruise together. And like I've mentioned last time, this last cruise I went on, you don't have internet.
Right.
So I played through the majority of Phoenix Wright on the cruise ship. Could not, I couldn't get frustrated and check and see what I had to do. So that last case was, it was rough. Because they're difficult games because you have to, the whole point is you're Phoenix Wright, someone's accused, they give their testimony.
Right.
And then when you cross-examine them, they give in each line of dialogue, you have to, if you're going to press them to see if they're lying or to try to figure out more details, usually they'll have some kind of a tell.
Right.
When they're on the witness stand, they'll blink faster or they'll fidget and there's something about this line.
Right.
So you either press them to get more information or you present a piece of evidence to show a contradiction. And then the more contradictions that eventually leads to the conviction or they confess or something like that.
I also think you talk about, you also investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when I was thinking about it, Nikki was asking me the other day. She's like, what are you playing? I was like, oh, Phoenix Wright. And she's like, how is it? I was like, I like it. I think it's really well done. And I think that you would like it, speaking to her,
mm-hmm.
because it's pretty much like Law & Order meets anime meets easy to play video game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't mean that the game itself is easy. It's just easy to play.
It's easy to learn how to play it. But it makes you think about... It can get difficult because people who are, because whenever you find someone who's a skilled liar that's on the stand, then it gets hard. And then you have to look for you have to pull up the evidence and you'll have to really look at the evidence to find why something makes their statement a contradiction.
Sure. And I don't mean to say that it's easy in difficulty. I just mean that it's easy to pick up and learn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the game does not leave you hanging. It actually teaches you how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
At least this version does. I don't know if all of them.
No, they all do. And they all usually have different elements. In the first Ace Attorney is pretty much straight up cross-examination, investigation, presenting evidence for contradictions, cut and dry. It's the first one. And the second one, they amp it up by adding a little bit of the magical element to where Mia Fey, Maya Fey, and their
Tina Fey.
Their third... their third sister, Pearl Fey, they're all mediums. They live on this in a very priest part. They're shrine maidens in this place in Japan. They give...
They hang out with Pocky and Rocky?
There's monks with the big bees and shit like that.
Yeah.
For Phoenix Wright helping find Mia's killer, they give him, I believe it's a Magatama.
Three blowjobs. Sorry, Jacob. I'm sorry. Had to take that.
Oof. Dirty. They give him, and the Magatama, it looks like, to Naruto reference, the Sharingan, what the black things are in the Sharingan, that's what they give him, one of those. And it's on a necklace. And whenever Phoenix Wright is wearing it, if people lie to him, he can see what's in their heart and what they're hiding.
Okay.
So when you talk
it's a pretty good thing for a lawyer to have.
Exactly. So you'll meet somebody and they'll say something that they're clearly lying, and then they'll be like, a chest that will be locked and then chains will wrap around it.
Okay.
However many chains there are or however many locks you have to break through to get to open that chest.
More chains, the better liar they are, I'm assuming.
Right. And okay. You have to, like, you might have to call them out on a piece of, like, say that's a contradiction and then select dialogue, tell them why that's a contradiction, one chain goes away. Or you might have to have a piece of evidence to show them, okay, you're wrong, another one goes away. Normally, like, two or three is pretty standard. Then you'll get, like, the real testimony or the real witness account. Like, they might, like, somebody, like, there's, like, a mob, somebody who is an informant for the mob, but they're scared about the mob is going to do to them, so they'll have tons of chains, and have to
because
break
they're motivated,
them down. Right.
To they, not tell you.
They don't want to lie to you. They're not bad people, mm-mm. But you just have to convince them and unlock so they'll tell you, all right, this is what I saw.
Throw a warm blanket over their shoulders.
Exactly.
Yeah. Give them a cup of hot coffee
and sometimes,
or cocoa.
Like, sometimes when you meet them, it's a game until you get their secret. Other times, there'll be like eight chains and you just progressively through the game.
That's a rapper. That's the rapper you turn into.
Progressive chains. Yeah.
No, eight chains.
Eight
chains. Yeah. It's like two chains. It's like four of them. It's like a band. Man. It's like the Beatles meets two chains.
People
you just rapper on. And you like spin around three times. You're like blathering blathersphere.
That might be the widest musical net. It's like two chains and the Beatles. Somebody's going to get some part of this. But listen, that's the Magatama. Yeah, sometimes people have so many chains. After the game, you'll keep going back to prison. Like,
so many chains.
This person is a very important witness, but they do not want to talk to you. So you'll have to periodically find new evidence, try to think of how it might relate. Sometimes it's very obscure. Go back to one piece of their testimony, present that one piece of obscure evidence, and slowly break them down. Hmm. But they'd start doing that in the second one.
If that's fun, I hope that's fun, because it doesn't sound like fun.
It is fun trying to, it's fun.
I feel like that's one of those things that you're talking about earlier where it's like, it's the description isn't going to sound fun,
yeah.
But once you do it, it is, I'm assuming.
It is, yes. Yeah. I enjoy it. Each lawyer in the game has a different ability like that. Phoenix Wright has the Magatama, and like Miles Edgeworth before I get to Miles Edgeworth again, in the second game, usually you have one primary prosecutor that you're up against at the course of the game.
Okay, so it's not different per case.
Right, except the first case in every game is either Winston Payne or now in Dual Destinies, Gaston Payne.
Okay.
Payne is always the introductory prosecutor you're up against before you see the real one.
It's the Biggs and Wedge of Phoenix, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And the second one, Franziska, it's a German lady. I can't remember. Franziska von something.
Uh-huh.
She is the daughter of Miles Edgeworth's protege or his master, his teacher.
Uh-huh.
And then like they have a weird rivalry going to where they want to be the best prosecutor in the world. She's the main villain for the second one. In the third one, you're Phoenix Wright throughout most of it, and then you get to be Miles Edgeworth at the end.
Okay.
Because something happens that Phoenix Wright is kidnapped,
uh-huh.
But at the last minute, he scribbles a note to Edgeworth, wraps his Magatama in it, and like throws it out the window. And
just hopes.
Yeah, it makes its way back to Edgeworth, and he's like, I'm a prosecutor, I'm not a defense attorney, but this is important because like Maya's life is on the line. And Phoenix Wright's like, no one is as good at this as me but Edgeworth. So then it's an interesting thing getting to be him.
Yeah, to twist it.
Yeah, and then when he gets the Magatama and then he sees like the hearts appear, he's like, this is the shit he's up to. This is why he's so good. And then they become allies as opposed to rivals after that. And then the next game to come out, not chronologically, but the next game in the series is then a Miles Edgeworth game.
Okay.
But his power, Edgeworth doesn't have like a magical item like the others do. Edgeworth just has logic. His games are different in like the investigation is way, way more. And it's an over the head view of Edgeworth walking around from crime scene to crime scene.
That seems weird.
It was a big change. Yeah. I was skeptical looking at previews and stuff like that, but it really works.
Yeah, cool.
And his power is logic. So as you see clues, he'll remember, all right, a broken piece of timber. And you keep going and you'll see like, all right, a hammer. And then you slowly piece the logic together to figure out whatever Edgeworth is going to do. And then Apollo Justice.
I love Apollo Justice.
Apollo's power is perception. So he's just, and I believe it's not as blatant as like the Magatama, but like his bracelet helps amplify. It'll like vibrate if he catches onto something. It helps amplify it.
Yeah.
So that's why in his game, people beyond will be on the witness stand, and then his will vibrate, and then you go into like perception mode, and you're searching through, and you'll see they're sweating a lot under their arms.
Right.
Okay. They're lying on this line. Press them. Present the evidence. But
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Did Apollo's you say there's good. One that's based on him?
The fourth Which game in the series is all, because Phoenix Wright is disbarred for fabricating evidence.
Why would he do that?
He's framed.
Okay, all right.
Someone sets him up, and then he's even like, but somebody gave me, I see what they did. And the judge is like, that's it, Nick, you're out. And then he starts like a talent agency. Suddenly in the Apollo Justice one, he has a daughter. Maya is nowhere to be seen, and Phoenix Wright has a daughter.
Yeah, and she's in this new one, too. Mm-hmm. What's her name? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I always want to say it's Trudy, but it's not Trudy. It's Trucy or something.
Trucy, that's it. It's Trucy, yeah.
Because it's like a really uncommon name, and every time I see her, it's like, there's not Trudy. Trucy.
Which I won't tell you exactly who she is or how he gets across. I still don't know why Maya isn't in any of the games anymore. Mm. I hope Dual Destinies explains that, but I know you want to play Apollo Justice, so I won't spoil it for you. But that's where he's disbarred, and he goes out and finds Apollo. He's like, you have a gift. I want to teach you. I want to bring you on. And then it's mostly Phoenix Wright will come in and like give him like cryptic help. And that's where like
he's a jerk.
That's when you deal with the mob a lot. And well, Phoenix Wright is, you can tell he's like horribly depressed.
Yeah.
It's hard for him to get up in the morning every day. Like whenever you see him, he doesn't wear a suit anymore. He hides his badge. He has that.
Yeah. That beanie.
Yeah. That's what he wears in the Apollo Justice game.
They flash 5 o'clock back to shadow, that in the Dual beanie. Destinies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming apart at the seams, this guy.
Yep. So that's when you do a lot with the mob and things like that in his game. And I didn't mention the third one, your main adversary is a guy named Godot.
Okay.
And Godot wears a Star Trek Geordi LaForge visor.
Okay.
And his thing is coffee. So whenever he like, whenever he makes a point, he holds out his hand and like at cheers, you see a coffee cup slide up the bar into his hand. And then he'll make some kind of coffee pun and then drink it and slam it down and point at Phoenix Wright.
This game is full of puns and I love that.
Yeah.
But I should have mentioned that when we were talking about the humor. It's a lot of humor is pun humor, which, I mean, let's face it, it's pretty good.
It's pun.
It's pretty good.
Phoenix Wright flipping out about things because he always, like, whenever somebody trumps him, he always has a huge exaggerated reaction.
Yeah, he looks like the genie when Aladdin falls off a cloud.
Yeah.
In the genie level of Aladdin for the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only, during, like, cross-examination is where you can lose because you'll have, like, a health bar.
Right.
And if you present the wrong evidence, then the judge penalizes you, and once your bar runs out, then the judge is like, that's it, guilty.
Guilty.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in the second one is where it varies. In the first one, it's always like an eighth of your health bar. In the second one, depending on how important it is, it'll take off increasing large amounts. Huh. So like on the last case, it'll be all or nothing. Like every time, you don't get a second chance. So
raising the stakes.
I like that. I like that a lot more because it really builds the tension wherever you're used to like up to a half. And then on the last case, at his last point, it's like, okay, well, who's the murderer, Phoenix Wright? My patience is at an end. You better tell me now. And the whole bar is flashing. And like you have like 20 pieces of evidence. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I like that. Because like I hope it does that in Dual Destinies because right now it just seems like it takes the same amount, which doesn't add a lot of tension because usually I'm like, well, it might be this evidence. But if it's not, who gives a shit? Because I'll have like 4 more tries.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I've blathered on and on and on about kind of just random things about the game because I just love this series so much.
That's
and
how
it
we
runs
roll.
In together.
That's what Side Pig's all about, man.
But no, it's good. So good. I love that you're playing him. The only person I know that else is into him is Jacob York. Jacob's the one that turned me onto them.
Because he stopped listening to my blowjob comments. So.
That's true. He's not going to hear his praise right now. Because he was like, because I was like, hey, what have you been playing for DS? What are some good games? And he's like, all right, well, you got to play Elite Beat Agents. You got to play that game, which I still haven't. And he was like, I'm really digging on Phoenix Wright, right, you know, currently.
Uh-huh.
So then I was like, oh, okay, I'll give that a try. He's like, he's played the first one, some of the second one. I'm like, I've played six of them this week. But you were, because I think people, a lot of people talk about Phoenix Wright and Professor Layton kind of going together.
Oh, yeah. I remember you had even, usually when you would talk about one, you'd talk about the other. So far, my experience with, I probably have actually a great point of view because I have pretty much the same amount of time spent in this Phoenix Wright game as I do in the Professor Layton, any Professor Layton game. I really prefer Phoenix Wright. Mm-hmm. Like by a million. It is so much better. It is so much better to me. They're completely different games. Their similarity is that they're just games full of puzzles, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the heart of both games, they're just puzzle games. I mean, or not puzzle games, they're just games with a lot of puzzles in them, mm-hmm. with a story woven around it. The problem I have with Professor Layton is that, and it may have just been that particular game, but first of all, I wasn't totally interested in the story. And second of all, I think honestly the reason why is because I could never get into the story because the puzzles in that game, I had to do so many puzzles in that game that were not related to the story. Mm-hmm. And then I'd spend 5 fucking minutes doing a puzzle and then I'd have to like stop and remember, okay, where was I going? Who was I going to meet?
Who is this guy I was talking to? Yeah. Why is he important? He's not important.
Yeah, and then so I kept losing the story thread. And Phoenix Wright, on the other hand, I really like how they weave the puzzles into the story. Like, since all of the puzzles are really about the investigating or part of the trial, none of them seem arbitrary because they're not. They are all specifically there to help aid the story and even uncover different parts of the story, which is what I really like about this game, is when I find a new piece of evidence and then it reveals something else in the story. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool. Or even in court where you get new witness testimony. It's just that the story is always building on itself. And I really, really like that. It's masterful the way that they build the story. It really is.
Because I don't know if you've come across Dick Gumshoe yet.
No.
He is the, throughout the series, he's the inept detective. Like, he's...
has found in San Diego yet.
If I were to draw Tadpog to Phoenix Wright, Dick Gumshoe is their Zach English. Like, he's just kind of fumbling and he's messing stuff up, but he's trying really hard. And you can tell he's like a pure-hearted good guy. He's just a bumbling detective. And so he's important early on because he's always like, I was the detective on the scene. He gives you the information. You're pointing out contradictions all the time because he just fucks up when he's talking to you. So then when you're dealing with him, you're just dealing with him fucking shit up. And then Phoenix Wright's best friend from middle school keeps popping up in the early games. Okay, that's hilarious. Larry Butts.
All right.
Yeah, he's
sure,
just...
Sure, why not?
He's just like this his dumb, drunk middle school friend.
Like, he was drunk in middle school. He's clean now. He's clean and sober.
But every case, he has like a different profession and a different girl he's chasing. And he always just, you know, the pun thing, every time he'll turn a corner to another thing and then it's... Larry butts in. Oh no, Larry. So
no, I haven't met either of them.
So usually, and they'll play some minor case in an early, some minor part in an early case, and then that builds to them being some kind of center later on. Hmm. So like in the Edgeworth games, like Gumshoe is really important because that's who Edgeworth has to go through. So then you have to deal with.
Oh, I see.
All that with Edgeworth.
I see. Cool. I think I'll finish this game. I think I'll finish Dual Destinies. Mm-hmm.
I think the more you get into it, the more you'll like it.
It's one of those where I really do like it, but it makes me sleepy. It does make me sleepy. Mm-hmm. The game makes me sleepy because I get sleepy when I read, particularly in bed or when I'm reclined on the couch. And this game is one of those where I feel like there's enough reading to where it's just, I kind of like doze off from time to time. Then I'll wake up and be like, oh, that's right. I'm in the middle of court.
Well, it's a good game for that because you can save it anytime.
That's true.
And then you can usually always cycle through any statement or mm-hmm. anything like that. So it's a good wind down game.
Yeah, it really is. And it honestly does help me wind down. Even when it's stressful, it's still weirdly relaxing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which a lot of games when shit is getting tense, I tend to tense up too. But with this, I guess it's because it's just so appealing and bright and colorful, where it's just kind of like, you know what? If I fuck up, it's just a game.
Yeah. I feel like it's important to note that the judge is the end-all be-all in the Phoenix Wright series. There's not a jury. It's right. Just, you're just trying to convince this judge.
Is it the same the judge bald makes guy the case. In each game?
Every time. Nice. It's the same judge throughout the whole series. there's a twist in the Apollo game because they start talking about the jury system and experimenting with the jury system. So that throws, it's the only game where it's slightly different. The judge still does everything, only at the end, then he'll be like, let's see what the jury has to say.
Interesting.
So.
I like the judge. I like the jokes with the judge, too. Yeah. There have been a lot of jokes with the judge so far. I hope that continues.
Yeah. But play them. I love them. I think they're some of the best handheld games out there.
I can't recommend all of them because I haven't played them, but from what I've played of Dual Destinies, I would certainly recommend it. It's like $30.
Mm-hmm. And Dual Destinies is, it's the same theme, and then there's a new defense so I don't want to say defense lawyer, but...
Defense attorney.
Defense attorney, thank you. There's a new defense attorney, Athena Sykes, mm-hmm. which I guess they were like, oh, if we're going to name one Apollo, let's name one Athena. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So, and then Athena's ability is she can sense emotion.
I like her.
So, yeah, I mean, I've only used her on that one case so far, so... But I'm interested in her.
I like her personality. I like that all the characters in this game have... distinct but not ham-fisted personalities. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because
except for Larry Butts.
Oh well, okay.
Easy Larry Butts.
Well, fair enough. I haven't met Larry, but I like that. It's
Harry Butts. Harry Butts was his nickname in middle school. That's what they called him. There you go.
Nice.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Nice. That's okay. Now I can't think about anything else. I've got the image of Harry Butts in my mind. Thanks. No, but it's because it has like that anime feel to it. I think even though the characters kind of have outlandish personalities, it fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It just feels natural where it's like, oh, okay, well, Athena gets really excited about things.
Mm-hmm.
And she shows that excitement in kind of strange ways, but she looks like an anime character, so it fits.
Mm-hmm. And Apollo is, clearly he's like a powerful, intelligent guy, but he also, I remember... in his previous game, his best trait is he's nervous. He's always really nervous trying to go on his own, and he doesn't have the same mentorship because Phoenix Wright is just broken down.
Right.
So it's, and I can see where that makes him, would make him a more stronger, confident figure in Dual Destinies because he's had a much harder time in the system than like Phoenix Wright or Athena will have.
Yeah, but he's still concerned about screwing up.
Yeah.
For sure. I like him a lot. I know I said it earlier, but so far he's my favorite character. Got anything else you want to say about it?
Love it. I'm looking forward to more.
I plan on finishing this game, and then I'll see where I go.
Next out, I've got all of them. I'll give all of them to you.
Awesome.
It's totally fine.
Awesome.
I have a note. What was I going to... I don't remember how I was going to do it. Oh, okay. This is not related to Phoenix Wright, but just the thought I had.
Okay.
Because we were talking about the lordships.
It is related to Bagel Bites.
I can talk about Bagel Bites. About the Tadpog titles and lordships. My Tadpog wet dream would be to eventually... We have like the Tadpog world map, and we have the different lands carved out, and different lords have lands... Lords and then barons. No one's been declared a baron yet. So I'm just telling you that's out there. Somebody can be a baron. So we've got, you know, lords, ladies, and then people who aren't as involved could like sign up to be bannermen of the lords. And so we eventually have the whole world drawn out in Tadpog. And then there's LARPing at Tadpog prom based on your house affiliation.
God, I like that. And there's a costume contest.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty good. All right, we're doing it. Everyone come to Paducah. We'll rent out the Curris Center.
Yes. Do you have any achievements?
It's Other Shit Monday. I didn't really think about achievements.
Yeah, you may read mine and you can just think about it. And
yeah,
if you don't, it's no big deal.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I've got two.
Okay.
I've got the Oracle.
Okay.
Which is...
Batman tie-in, I like to think.
Win an entire case
as
without losing...
He's the world's greatest detective, Tyler.
Damn it, it's true. Without getting anything wrong. Have the full life bar at the end of a whole case.
Okay. All right, I like that. I like that a lot because of the Batman tie-in. Mm-hmm. I'm just going
to
say that.
Clearly, it was meant to be like that. And the other one being your second favorite of just things ever, Judge Judy. How you unlock Judge Judy.
As an unplayable, as our playable character.
That would be awesome. That's how you can unlock Secret Judge, Judge Judy. You can't win whenever she's done. You're always guilty. Whenever there's an action that makes the judge angry, because sometimes you do something and the judge will get angry at you, repeat that over and over and over until you make him so mad he just declares you guilty. Judge Judy.
I like it, man. You went through those so fast. The only thing I can think of is I want to make some like Apollo Creed achievement, but I've seen like no Rocky movie. So like I feel like I can't do that. Mm. And like whatever I say would just come across as just so forced. And but I'm going to, so let's see. I want to do something with Apollo. I need some help, Tyler. You're going to have to help me out. Okay.
How about Greek?
Well, all right. I got this.
Okay.
I got this under control. God, it's going to be so lame, though.
That's Phoenix Wright. It's fine.
Do they say where... they don't say where it takes place. Do they assume Japan?
I think it's in Japan, but I don't remember them saying any certain real district or anything like that in Japan.
Surely, I'm sure that Japan has a Houston. I'm sure that Japan has a Houston.
Yeah.
The achievement would be Houston, we have a problem.
Okay.
And to unlock Houston, we have a problem. You have to falsely present all possible evidence as Apollo to the judge. So you have to get, you're gonna go through a lot of guilty sentences getting this achievement. But since you have to present the one right piece of evidence in order to unlock Houston, we've got a problem. You have to do it. You have to show them all the wrong evidences.
I would have unlocked that achievement on the fifth case in the first game.
Yeah.
Because trying to fool the chief of police, like I feel like every statement, I was presenting every piece of evidence against every statement because I just didn't know where to go. So I was like, I'm just going to brute force this. We're just going to mow through it.
If you unlock Houston, we've got a problem. Or I'm sorry. Yes. You gain Tom Hanks as a playable character.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to present the right evidence because everyone fucking loves him. He just shows up in court and the judge is like, not guilty. Bang, bang.
And Phoenix Wright, the exasperated face.
Okay, so some people have called us. And I know we've said earlier that we're going to play these. We're about, at least unedited time, we're about an hour and 23 minutes in. Do you still want to do calls or do you want to save them? It's your call because you're going to be editing the show.
Let's save them because I don't want to go over.
Okay.
I feel like an hour 15 or an hour 20 is probably pretty much our golden spot, so we should probably be careful.
Yeah, I worry if we go past an hour 20, I think people may stop listening.
So.
Okay.
We'll save the calls.
All right.
I do have beards and glasses.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I'm not used to asking you this on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, hopefully in a few Mondays, I'll get with the program and I'll be trained with, I'll be ready with achievements. I'll be ready to ask you about beards and glasses and all that. And Wikipedia, you name it. Just all the wonderful trappings you've come to love from Wednesday's shows. If you were to give this game a beard,
this series. Okay. I'll say this series.
Okay. This series, bending the rules on Monday, I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of beard would you give it to tell the world what this series is all about?
I would give it the beard of the one man who hung upside down from your grassle for 11 days and 11 nights to gain ultimate wisdom. It's the beard of the Allfather, the one-seeing eye.
Mm-hmm.
Odin.
You give it fucking Odin's beard?
Fucking Odin's beard. Phoenix Wright gets Odin's beard.
Christ, man. Okay.
That's how much I love it.
Yeah, I'll say that's quite a bit. By Odin's beard.
Damn right.
All right, Tyler. That was pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a Phoenix Wright pun.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses to, I assume, wear with the Odin's beard.
Odin could wear them as glasses.
Okay, all right. What kind of glasses would those be?
Are you familiar with the famed Grossmünster Cathedral in Switzerland?
The grass monster?
Grossmünster?
The gross monster.
Gross monster.
Yes, I am familiar with many gross monsters, but maybe not this cathedral.
The epic and unique stained glass windows located in the Grossmünster Cathedral.
Uh-huh. They're stained glass windows as glasses. Mm-hmm. Odin could wear those. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about these. I assume they're beautiful.
Uh-huh. They're beautiful and they're unique and they're not traditional stained glass. They look like they're made of geodes.
Huh. Link in the show notes?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. That's all I got though.
I don't have anything else to say about this game.
All right. Thanks for listening to me really just ramble and gush and just give just boners about the Phoenix Wright series.
our gooters are at attention.
Just gooter tingles.
That mean only one thing, Tadpog Prom.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so at Miss Next episode, we'll be talking about whatever we want, because it's Other Shit Mondays.
Path of Exile,
maybe? So, Path of Exile?
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Fine by maybe. Me.
I don't know. Don't hold us to it.
I'm down. While you're there, remember, get to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. Mm-hmm. We'll give you shit. We'll love it. It'll be great. Send us an email. Let us know if there's a game you want us to do, game you want us to play.
Yeah.
You can just recommend it and we'll get to it, or you can buy it for us and we'll get to it quicker.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. You want to make that commitment? Can we? You want to go ahead? If you send us a game, it moves up the priority list.
Yep.
Where can they email us?
Either dave@tadpog.com or tyler@dave.com.
tyler@dave.com. I love it, man. I wish that domain wasn't taken. Let's just email. I tell you what, we'll email tyler@dave.com and just see what happens. We'll report back on next Other Shit Monday. Guys, I know you had a lot of fun with us today. We had a lot of fun with you, honestly. Maybe not as much fun as we did playing Phoenix Wright, but still, quite a bit of fun was had. If you can't wait for the next episode, which is just in a couple days, you can go to tadpog.com and find us there. We've got a whole archive of episodes there you can listen to. You can also check out the show notes if you want to. Also, We're on Facebook, which we mentioned earlier, on facebook.com/tadpog. That's where all the lords, marquees, and...
Lady Nicole.
That's where they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So go there. You may earn a title. Someone's got to be a marquee. It might as well be you.
Luminary. She might get lady bonus over that. Luminary Nicole.
You can also find us on Twitter, which is where Luminary Nicole earned her title.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the Tweedo world.
Dick Pick Nicole.
Yeah. We're there at tadpog_podcast. Come check us out. We got a lot of new followers this week because I was just fucking giving games away.
Yeah.
And people responded to that. They probably don't listen to us, but hey, we got those followers.
That's fine. That works.
Our theme song, which may or may not be 2 minutes long right now.
We'll see what I can do. Sorry or you're welcome, whichever.
That honestly, I think that's the best stinger ever. The 2-minute fake out. That's like Andy Kaufman level of like, I just imagine people listening be like, all right, what the fuck's going on? Well, I have to listen through it in case there's a stinger.
Josh Edwards loves the stinger, so I know he didn't say anything to me about it, probably because he was legitimately angry.
So yeah, I love that. Let's just play it off as like an Andy Kaufman move. That's just pure fucking genius that you did. I love it. But that song is Moves by Sycamore Drive, Tyler. And a link to it can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com. That's a side pick, I guess.
Objection!